It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Welcome to MGP 422. I'm TikTok sensation, Mr. Kevin Chapman. And with you as ever, with me as ever, with all of us as ever, the sheepdog, Anna and Pab. Say hello, boys and girls.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
Hello. I have an apology to make. Last week, sheepdog forced me to lie to you all and make promises that I had no intention of keeping. I'm not going to tell you why everything is changing today. You have to watch the vlog at 5 o'clock today. I'm sorry. It was Sheepdog's fault. He forced me into it.
I've just been looking forward to Anna being let out of prison. It's, she's released. She's free. She's back in the community again. She's at large.
She missed 1 week. I know speculation was rife about where she might have been. But she missed 1 week and she's back now. That isn't what I was counting down to. I wasn't counting down until the day Anna returns to the podcast. Can you imagine?
In her defense, those nuns hadn't come in. Those nuns hadn't come in. And I salute you, Anna. Well done.
I started the countdown before she even missed a week. And it was the countdown to Anna coming back to the podcast. Oh, there'd be uproar if that's all it was. After all the kerfuffle I've made about this.
Everything changes to the way it was for 9 years.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't this way last week. Yeah. So that's a significant difference. Last week was weird because there was no Anna here. So in order to fill for time, I had to make wild promises I had no intention of keeping. Like that time I said I'd give anyone who listened to every show money or something. Wild promises I had no intention of keeping.
You need to pay out on that one, to be fair.
Right, I've said to him repeatedly, Lee, if you're listening, which we know you don't, but if on the off chance that you are listening, you just have to tell me what I promised. I don't remember, and I can't give you something if I don't know what to give you. So you have to tell me what the promise was. I ain't going to go back and listen to what I promised. So tell me what I promised. I think it was an iTunes gift card, which, I mean, I can probably locate one. Admittedly, iTunes itself doesn't exist anymore, but I can find you an iTunes gift card. Are they still available? Yeah, they are. iTunes gift cards still exist. So I can get one of them off CD keys, in fact. So tell me the value of the iTunes gift card that I promised you, and then you can do with it what you will. But it might have been something else. I don't remember. You're going to have to tell me, at the very least, if you don't want to tell me what I promised you, at the very least, you need to tell me when I promised it so I can go back and find out for myself. Because as it is, there's no chance here. I don't know what I said. This lot don't know what I said.
I'm going to go out on a whim and suggest it was probably episode 365, Kev. But
feels like a job for you for this weekend then. Go back and listen to that episode.
It's my wedding anniversary. I'm a busy man. I'm busy.
You have them every year, though. Mm. Everything doesn't change every year. I'm busier than you this weekend. Everything changes. Are you? Are you coming to the same place we are? Because we're going out as well. Are we all going out together? Are we breaking lockdown rules?
No, I'm going to a pub in Peterborough for a meal. It's the only pub we could find that had more than one vegetarian option on their mains. Yeah, it's two. But I couldn't find anywhere I said to Mrs. Sheepdog, I'm not willing to go all the way there. I'll have the halloumi burger, and they go, we're out of halloumi, and then I have to just order chips and salad and, whatever else. I was just like, it's not worth the risk. I mean, part of me thought I could
have rang. What's the situation with pubs now? Are you going to have to eat in the garden if
apparently,
it's raining?
Yeah, we're going to eat in the garden.
What if it's raining, though?
I mean, I didn't have to pay a deposit, Kev. Take a brolly. I just won't turn up.
Well, you didn't say, I'm going out tomorrow, conditional on the weather. You said, I'm going out tomorrow. It sounded like a definitive statement to me.
I mean, I hadn't considered that. You are throwing a potential spanner in the works that's now going to eat me alive for the next 24 hours. what do I do?
Because we're supposed to be going out tomorrow, and we've said we're going out at 10, but I'm looking at the percentage chance of rain where we are for our trip tomorrow. Anna, at 10 a.m. when we're planning on going, 0% chance of rain. But 11, there's 40% chance.
But
then
said
12
that
and 1,
and we haven't
it's
anything.
Down to 0 again. And then by 2 o'clock, it's up to 50%. We need to leave at 2 o'clock anyway, so we're back here at 3 o'clock, so I can watch the football. But
I am aware.
I don't know. We might have to plan the trip to avoid the rain, avoid the 40%. We'll go there for an hour at 10, come home for a bit, go back for 2 more hours, then come home for a bit more.
I will level with you though, Kev. I mean, my kids are going to their nan's, so I am... They're in our bubble, in case anyone's freaking out about that. I doubt anyone cares. But as long as they kind of go there, I'm not really fussed what happens for the rest of the evening. It looks like it's going to be cloudy, though.
You're going out to eat outside in the dark? You're a very brave man, Sheepdog. Make sure you take you haven't got a choice. Take your rain mac with you. Last time, I think this can't be true, but the last time I remember seeing you eat outside, you were chased by seagulls down a promenade.
Yeah, that sounds right, Grimsby.
Yeah. I must have seen you eat outside since then, but I don't know that I have. But both me and Sheepdog got fish and chips in Grimsby. I just ate mine quite comfortably. And for some reason, he was constantly savaged by seagulls all the way through while I stood next to him just eating. I don't understand what you did to make the seagulls attack you. They must have just picked you out as a weak target.
I called them names, I think. I was just swearing at them and cursing them, and they just thought, not having that. Not being treated like a mug by this little oik.
So, yeah, if you're driving around Peterborough on Saturday evening and you notice a swarm of violent birds near a pub, that's probably Sheepdog's dinner being attacked.
I never really considered it. I knew I was sitting outside eating, but I hadn't considered rain, and I hadn't considered that I absolutely hate eating outside. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun evening.
Have I ruined your weekend yet?
A little bit. Hey. I'm also driving, so I can't even just get smashed.
This sounds like it's all been very poorly planned. This is why you need me here to help you with the planning of these kind of things.
We were going to walk to and from somewhere in Deeping, and then it was like they all only had their one vegetarian option, or none in some cases, which is just shocking. A bit surprised that that's allowed.
In that case, you can just have beer. That's your vegetarian option.
Yeah, well, I've told Mrs. Sheepdog she can drink, and I'll drive, and then when we get home, I'll just have a bottle of wine. I'll catch up. It'll take me like 20 minutes.
I'll catch up.
I'll get more drunk than her in much quicker time. It'll be fun.
Between the car and the front door.
It's a good shout. If I just stick it in the glove compartment, as we're coming around the corner, she can be opening it for me. I'll have it done. I'll be in the door.
Exactly.
Vomit on the sofa. It'll be just like the work Christmas party a few years back.
Can't help but notice how rude we all are, though. We're all off out on adventures, and none of us have invited Pab to come with us. Which is, Pab, do you want to come out with us tomorrow?
No. Not based on their plans.
You haven't heard my plans, you've heard Sheepdog's plans. We're not going out with Sheepdog.
Okay, go on then.
We're going to go and ride a miniature railway.
How miniature?
Half size, I think.
Okay. So not,
so
like
not tiny,
Lego.
Tiny.
Not like Legos.
No, not quite
smaller
that small.
Smaller than Neen Valley, but bigger than Rail World. Is that where we're looking?
I'm not familiar with Rail World sizing. Slightly bigger than Ferry Meadows, for those of you who are really doing this based on Peterborough.
I know that one.
Okay, yeah. How do you know the Ferry Meadows
he's
one?
Been, he's perhaps been jogging at Ferry Meadows.
Yeah. You go running
around. Do you not listen to him when he comes to MGVX?
Yeah.
Well, I never. Wow, okay.
See, I know these things about Pab. I pay attention to him. I show an interest. Yeah. You don't care where he goes running.
Didn't think he went that far, really, from where he would have been staying. That's quite surprising.
He likes to stay in the nice hotels, not the city centre ones.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, I guess we should probably talk about some video games at some point. I hear that's still loosely what this podcast is supposed to be about. On the topic of video games, I finally got my super duper super fast sexy internet. Oh, what, it's taken 7 months. Been. The reason we picked this house is because Rightmove told me that we could get 900 meg download on our internet. And basically, I made my mind up at that moment because of all the houses we looked at. This is the one that Rightmove told me had the fastest internet. And finally, 7 months after moving in, we now have, it's not quite 900, but I think that's because Anna's got her PlayStation on. When I did a speed test just now, it was like 820 download, I think. 816 download. And it looks like it's capping out at 50 upload, which is hideous. Hideous. Only 50 upload. I feel like a peasant. Yeah, we've got sexy internet. So I now need to find some things to download. I don't know what to download. Pab, tell me a really large game that I can download to test my new internet.
Oh, Call of Duty Warzone.
Ah, okay, let's get that downloading now while the podcast is on. Well, change of plan. I went to go and download this game and immediately Audacity crashed and we had to restart the podcast. So let's assume we won't be doing that. Pav, that frankly, that was your fault for suggesting Call of Duty.
That's your right for asking.
Well, I hope you... you're the one who's got to do extra editing because of it. So
I didn't think of that.
Who's the one who's suffering in the end? It's all your fault.
Jeffrey heard you suggesting you were going to do it and just pulled the plug out.
Me and Jeffrey are big buds. We are like that. Me and Jeffrey like that. We really are. Love Jeffrey. He rang me at 8:15 this morning while I was picking up heavy things and putting them down again. Good boy, that Jeffrey.
Good man.
He is. So, should we talk about some games then? Because I know there's a new one out today that I know Anna's playing now. I think Pab was streaming it earlier this evening. So, what? I don't know what it's called, so someone's going to have to help me out here and start talking about it.
Returnal is a very strange game that makes me replay levels all the time.
That sounds hideous.
It's not that bad. So I've played it for about 3 hours. My longest run was an hour. So basically, you crash on a planet. Tells you not to, but you do anyway. And off you go for a walk. And you go through, like, you're on this alien planet. You kill stuff, you find stuff, and you have to... I don't quite know what we're doing, but I know I have to follow some red dots. So I've got to, like, I think the first main boss, and that was a pain in the buttocks. I won't do that again, but every time you die, you start from the crash again. And you go a walkabout, but the world has changed. So it's like
procedurally generated.
That word.
Have you said what this game is called? I'm guessing it's called Red Dot Redemption at the moment.
No, Returnal.
There we go. I hadn't heard the name.
Yes, Returnal.
Is it procedurally generated? Because I just heard Pam go, as you said that. I don't know if he's disputing it.
No, Anna's memory is just terrible.
I thought it was.
It is, but I'm going to say this and you're going to laugh at me, as you always do.
Yep.
It's a roguelike.
Hey! Pabby's favourite! Roguelike of the week with Pab!
Is that a bad thing?
Is it also a Metroidvania?
No, because I don't like Metroidvanias. Although it kind of is.
You
no.
bloody love them.
No,
doesn't like them.
I don't particularly like roguelikes that much. I just like certain ones.
I just like saying
the genre itself. I don't necessarily. It's not my favourite, but it's. So, like I said, it does. You literally start off the game crashing on the planet, you have a wander around, see how long you last, and then you die and you do it all again, and some things you carry over, some things you don't from the previous run. Exactly what a roguelite is, so it is, it is one of those. Yeah. Sorry, Anne, I interrupted you.
So in order to, finish this game...
Yeah.
You're going to have to play it all the way through without dying.
I don't think it works that way.
Because it's,
I'm
it's,
not sure.
It's like basically you get a little better each time. You get a little better every time you do a run. You gain certain things that you carry on over with you. So certain weapons, certain abilities, certain things that can aid you in progressing further and further and further. Until, in theory, yes, one run is the run at some point. But you will probably have done many, many, many runs in the meantime, in the process of getting to that one run that is the one.
Oh, this sounds horrible.
It's not.
This was a full price game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Continue telling me all about it. I'm sure it's great.
Well, I can't put it down.
Something to it, isn't there? There's something to it that's really like... It's fascinating. It's weird. It's creepy. It's very sci-fi. And it's like you say, Annie, you can't put it down. It's fascinating. It's fascinating what's going on.
I cannot not play it. It's I don't know what it is, but I want to keep playing it. Because... I can't explain why. It's weird. But I died. Normally, when I die in the game, I would just, like, get really annoyed with myself. But this, I don't know. It's weird. But it doesn't bother me. Why is these... I'm doing something now, and I can't kill them. So in a minute, I'll die, and then I'll just start again.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's one of them games, and...
I always thought that was something that gamers did when they didn't really have enough depth, it's a genre.
Because if anything, Sheepdog, it's got infinite time because every time you play it, it's different.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I had a quick look at it while you were talking, and the fact that it changes every time and so on and so forth, it feels like it doesn't need that. Like, a lot... What I'm saying is the genre almost comes out of the fact that they didn't make a very big game, so they just made sure you had to keep bloody playing it for a long time over and over again. I know that's not the... That's the benefit for them. That's me being a little bit cynical. But what I mean is they made that as a design choice, and then it means actually a four-hour story could take you 20 hours to complete. It's just a good model. But this game looks like they could have just had it procedurally generate and play with one story through, but everyone's story could have been different and it could have been a little bit more varied.
The story's the same. Just how you get there from A to B is different in terms of the level layouts are all different every time. I imagine the same beats and the same story points are going to hit every time. It's not like if the story's going to change.
It just looks like it didn't need to be that way. I don't know.
I think it's just like it's an artistic style that they've gone with, and it's from the people who made Resogun, and many Alien Nation is another one that they've made. It's like Super Stardust. It's the people that made that,
I like several of the games you've just mentioned.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very. It's an amazing looking game. From the like 2 hours or so that I played, it is very dark and kind of like well lit. There's like lots of moonlight, lots of neon plants and enemies and stuff like that just appear. And the enemies like attack you akin to something like Resogun or something like that, where you are. It's like kind of like a bullet hell. Enemies shoot bullets at you like it's a bullet hell game. So it's just like streams and like patterns of bullets just firing at you. And you've got.
I imagine Anna telling me that it was It worked with the fantasy controller settings.
Yes, it is. It is. It's up there with Astrobot for what it does. When it rains, it's unbelievable when you feel the rain on you on the controller, because it's just like little tick 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 little tip taps on the controller like it's raining.
Like when you're outside and you feel the rain on your fingertips.
Yeah, but there's speaker stuff in the controller again, which I could have sworn that something was falling off the wall. I had a feeling every time the sound came out the speaker, the controller, I thought something was falling off the wall. I couldn't fathom it out because obviously I've got headphones on. So I could hear a sound. I was like, what the hell was that? Not even thinking about the controller at all. I was like, there's something. I kept panning to my left going, there's something falling off my wall. I can hear it. Something's about to fall off the wall. No, it never
How
did.
Does that work when you're streaming? Does the stream not hear the sound that's coming through the controller?
No. No.
Ah, interesting.
I mean, they probably could do through the microphone if it picked up on the mic.
Yeah.
But no, effectively, no. And I kept going, did anyone else hear that? Is that just on my end? And because I didn't even think, I only thought about it probably an hour in that the controller's making the sound. I was like, that is a weird noise. It feels like it's bizarre, but it's a very curious game where you are continuing to loop, finding bodies of your previous self, as I've found as of yet, I've found about four or five where you have like audio logs basically, and you just listen to audio logs of yourself talking yourself through. I think I've got to the first boss, I think, Anna. The first boss,
okay.
Where just some big guy, he's got like three bars of health.
Yes.
Yeah. I got through the first one. I found it.
Yep.
Did you go, okay, question for you. Did you find the house? Yeah, I'm assuming you did find the house.
I did. Yeah, and the key.
And the key.
Yeah.
You find the spaceman.
Yep.
I didn't know what the spaceman did until I got to that boss.
Oh, does the spaceman do something?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I can tell you what the spaceman does. It's nothing overly special. Useful. Want to know?
Because I was struggling.
The spaceman will gives you an extra life.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that helped. Yeah, that happened. And
okay,
I was like, oh, what's happened?
No, yeah, because I did that. I went, oh, I'm dead. I went, oh, no, I'm alive again. I put the controller down, I yanked it back up again, like, quick. And then I proceeded to die immediately again.
Yeah, same.
But they are
same.
Solid. But I've got a sword now. We got a sword.
I have, yeah.
Sword works well. And, I saw it, I was like, what's he pulling off this alien? What is she pulling off this alien here? I was like, it looks like a lightsaber, and then a big blade comes out of it.
I was like,
amazing. It's really cool.
It helps,
especially
with close counters.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I mean, I had a shotgun type weapon, and I was just running right up to that big boss and just kind of getting underneath it. And then I thought, oh, God, I've been hacking at its little feet. But never mind. Never mind. Well, I'll continue to play this game and see where it gets with me, because I inadvertently stumbled into someone's stream before, and I saw some stuff, and I was like, what the hell is this? This is not the same game I was playing before. So, it's interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Very least.
Well, there's different biomes. It's not always the start.
Yes, that's what I saw, like a big, like, Mars-looking biome, I would say, maybe.
Okay.
And I was like, this is, from what I've seen, so everything else I've seen has all been this dark, dreary, kind of like weird sci-fi
ruins.
Buildings. Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing. But something else is weird. Something else is going on. Like I say, the old house is there and weird stuff's going on. I don't quite know. And if you try and sleep in your dropship, you get this weird dream.
Yeah, you get your flashbacks, don't you?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what's going on. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll have to investigate further. I have to investigate further with that one. But it's good. It is good. It is full price, and people will frown at that, really. But it's a world we live in these days. These first party games are going to be first party prices, I'm afraid, these days. Even if it is from a relatively smaller studio, it is still. Like I say, I think it's still a very good game, and it utilises the technology very well.
And it's something
I'm all
to play.
About. I'm so, all about utilising technology. That's definitely my thing.
Good. With it.
Changed my tune since the days of the Vita. Gimmicky Uncharted. Goodness me. So, what else have we been playing this week, boys and girls? I don't think I've done anything other than Football Manager all week. Can you believe it? A week of Football Manager for Kev.
I'm like you.
I have spent 2 days just sat in my office scrolling through TikTok waiting for BT to arrive. So that's been a frustration. Just, ugh. But that's done now. So I am now ready to focus back in on games next week. It'll be football.
Is it not a bit weird that you've suddenly become obsessed with making incredibly short videos just as your internet's got good enough for you to basically upload films?
I'm a man of many contradictions.
You should be making 3-hour movies, like just the Marvel style Kevin Anna on the Run, just adventures, whereas you're there going like, I'm just gonna do a 1-minute skit. Not even that.
The ideal time is apparently 7 seconds. That's the perfect length. Yeah, it's the perfect length for TikTok. 7 seconds.
Can you tell a whole story in 7 seconds?
Only if you're as good as me, Sheepdog. Mm. Only if you're as good as me. You can tell a poor story Anna. Over several days as well. Yeah, Anna's the brains behind my TikToks. She's my creative director. I'm just a handsome star. But yeah, I've not done anything other than Football Manager, so I'll just sit here and mind my own business while you lot talk all about... there was another new game today, isn't there?
There was.
What's this other new game, Sheepdog?
I've had a very fun day. I know that Pabby got it as well, did he not?
Yes.
Oh, yep. So, do you know what? Just to give a bit of background on this, Pokemon Snap came out today, and I didn't think I was going to get it. I was talking to Lewis on Twitter and saying that I wanted to start playing Pokemon games online and that kind of thing, and he was like, oh, if you can get your PC before like the end of April, you can start streaming Pokemon Snap when it comes out. And I kind of just said yeah, and then from that moment onwards it's just been in my head like, well, you know, I played the old one and it was just really bad, because it was just, well, it was good as a game, but it was really like bad graphics on the N64. It was a bit repetitive. It used to make me feel a bit ill. I didn't have an N64, but I played it at my cousin's, and I just didn't really enjoy it that much. So I was really unsure about it. And then obviously last week, or whenever it was, Pab said to me, you'll get it, you want it, and all of this. And after the podcast, I mentioned to my wife that it was her anniversary this week, and we should probably sort gifts. And she was like, I don't really think we need to bother with gifts. We've got a garage, a computer, and a holiday to pay for. We can't really afford it. We should just go out for a meal. We should be sensible. And I was like, but I really want you to get me Pokemon Snap. And she was like, well, just get it then. And I was like, yeah, but then I have to get you a gift, so what do you want? And, like, I'd already had ideas, but she'd kind of shot them down by telling me we didn't have money.
What on earth just happened?
I'm joking, and I bloody reached for the mute button and pressed all my bloody sound buttons. That's quite
funny.
I don't mean to be fair, so she's fine.
We agreed, I dug a massive hole in the garden and she's getting plants over the weekend to put in it. That was her present, and I got Pokemon Snap. So I was very worried that I was going to regret it, because every time I've kind of said to her, I want to get a game, and she's kind of gone, oh, now's not the time, whatever. Like, normally it's fine, but sometimes when this happens, I get it anyway, and then it's rubbish. So this, not necessarily it's rubbish, but I don't play it. Like, I spent lots of money on Ni No Kuni and I never play it. I played it for like probably 3 hours. I plan on taking it on holiday and completing it. I remember doing this with several Gears of War games and other games. So I always get nervous when I'm like, I really want to get this. It's coming out. I need to get it. And she's like, fine, whatever, do what you want. And then I always feel terrible. But this arrived today. I was very excited about putting it in. I told my sons that I'd got it and they both were excited to see what it was. And we sat there from about 5 o'clock through to just before the podcast started, just playing it. And it is great. I mean, I was a bit frustrated because every single go, they wanted to take over. And I was like, I'm just trying to review it for the podcast. Will you leave me alone? So I had to keep sharing the controller with them. And it's like, God, it's like having siblings, except I'm in charge of them. So I had to just be like, no. My youngest, I let sit on my lap and kind of pretend to control it. But anyway, because it says 3+ on it. So I was like, 3, he can control it, but not with a pro controller, he can't. I don't know how he'd fare with the whole Switch. I don't really want to give him it. But yeah, it's really fun. It's a bit like the game you just mentioned, that it's playing the same levels over and over a little bit, at least at the start. You do get, basically, you're a person who turns up at this professor's lab. He wants you to take pictures of Pokemon, explore their habitats. He's heard about illuminating Pokemon that brighten up and become a bit more, well, they just become like sparkly and kind of have this swirly stuff around them. And apparently there's some myth that the whole island was under a massive threat and these illuminated Pokemon saved the day and all of this. So he's there to investigate it and see whether it's true. And he gives you a fancy camera. It gives you this like pod thing that you sit in, and he just sends you off on missions to take pictures. So I was kind of like, right, okay, this makes sense. And you could go in. The idea is you sit in the pod. It starts off and it just moves through the levels. Now, me being an old man, this pod's moving far too fast for me. far too fast for me, because I thought the aim was to try and take a picture of literally everything. Now I've done maybe 10 of the missions. Well, we repeated a few times, and the kids kept having goes. So I reckon if you were playing it, you'd get through more than 10 in 4 hours. But bloody hell, they were... Anyway... So the first go, I was literally trying to photograph every Pokemon that moved, and I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm getting the back of Pichu's head, or this, like, Pidgey flying in the distance, and all these pictures suck. And I got to the end, and it was like, some of them are really close and all this, but then you have to pick which one. So every Pokemon you take a picture of, say you took a picture of 10 different Pokemon, you get to the professor, and they all just have different categories. And so, like, Pikachu, right, you took 12 pictures of Pikachu, which one's your best one? And I was letting my son pick them, because I was like, I don't know which one's the best one. Some of them are of his face, some of them are the whole of him, some of them are from far away, some are close up. The professor explains how he wants them to be. Like, the Pokemon's got to be in the middle, they've got to be doing something unusual, they've got to be facing you, they've got to have other Pokemon in the background of the picture, and stuff like that. So once you've kind of got the hang of it, it's been quite good. But what you'll do is you'll find that there might be a picture of, say, Pikachu on his own, doing nothing much, but if you get it just right and he's a big Pikachu picture where he's close up and you've got all of his features there, that'll be like a one star picture, but it's ranked between bronze and diamond. So you could get like a diamond one star picture of just Pikachu, but then a two star picture of Pikachu might be Pikachu running up a tree or something, and you see him just doing something. I was going along, so we did the first level, and then my son was like, I want to have a go now. So I was like, well, you can repeat the level I've done. You ain't doing new levels, because I don't want to see new content while you're bloody butchering
it. You are a monster.
Well, I kept saying to him, I'll play it. You can have it on the Switch, like, tonight and play it on your Switch, but you're going to watch me playing it. And he's like, no, I want to have a go. And I was like, look, I'm absolutely not letting you experience things that I should be experiencing. So I let him replay the same level, but it's not procedurally generated, that's not how it works, but it's got lots of different potential things they could be doing. So it was completely different anyway, and I was like, damn it. He's experiencing all the experiences. So he went through the level and it was slightly different. There was different stuff in different places, different things happening. When I went through, there was like just his Magikarp flopping about, but when he went through, it was like doing flips in the sky and trying to jump up, and he was trying to get a picture of it. At one point, there was just a sleeping Dodrio, you know, three-headed bird thing. When he did it, it was a completely different Pokemon in there jumping around. So then I ended up redoing that level again a third time, because I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be different. So he kept saying he wanted to do a nighttime level on his turn. And I was like, we're not taking turns. I'm doing it and you're having the occasional go. So because he wanted to do a nighttime level, I did a nighttime level so I could experience it first. Then he did a nighttime level. And then it unlocked like a special illuminated level, I can't really call it illumination or whatever, which again I did, and it was like this special Pokemon came out and it illuminated itself and you could follow it around taking pictures, and then my son was like desperate to have a go on that, so he got a go on it, and then it was completely different, and there was like other Pokemon sleeping on it or it was walking around, and yeah, we had a good time, and it was just, it's really fun because you go through it and then after you get to pick your pictures, you kind of look through them, and we were sat there going, well, you know, this one's got its whole face really close up, that could be quite a good score, but this one over here has got its whole, the whole Pokemon itself, but from slightly further away, and we were debating which one we should do, or, you know, there's a one star, a two star, a three star, and a four star option, and you're kind of like, well, that four star might be a bronze four star, whereas that two star might be a diamond two star picture, and it just became instantly complicated, because you basically get scored on your pictures, so if it's exactly in the middle, then you'd get like 1500 points for the picture. And if it was doing something impressive, you'd get 1000 points. And if it was surrounded by other Pokemon, you'd get another 1000 points and that kind of thing. So we were just debating over, I mean, Ollie has quite a good eye for what makes a good picture. I'm looking at them thinking they all look pretty much, you know, similar distance, similar whatever. And he's like, no, pick that one. And then I put it in and it was like, yeah, it's worth 5000 points. I was like, that's fantastic. So yeah, we've been having good fun with it, and I want to kind of go through it again. And there's like, he was getting frustrated with me eventually, because we'd gone through this level three times, and I was like, this is one Pokemon we keep missing, because it pops out at a really random time. So I'm just going to go through the level. I'm only going to take pictures of that. And that's when I kind of realised that's what it wants you to do. It wants you to do the level and just look out for whatever it is, the Pikachu, and just try and get it doing something fancy. So once we'd passed that one, I saw this like just completely modest Caterpie just sat by the wayside. And as I started to try to take a picture of it, it just started shooting string into the air, just wildly spinning in circles. And I took a picture of it doing that, and it was a like 4-star diamond picture, and my son was very impressed. And you know, it was, I was just like, that is awesome. The game has done me over there, really, because I was planning on being really like, I'm going for this one Pokemon. But yeah, it was really good. And I'm excited to explore more islands. You know, we started doing, I think it looks like every island is called something. So like the second island was jungle. So you'll do jungle day, jungle night, and then the illumination jungle level, and then you move on to a new habitat, and I'm guessing they'll just become like caves and whatever. As I said, my only complaint is how fast it moves. I'm too old for it to be moving that fast, but I do think that's because I was trying to literally take, if there was 50 Pokemon on a level, I was trying to photograph every single one of them, and that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to kind of just have, you could almost do the first one as a dry run, look through, see what's about, take the odd picture, and then go around again and just be like, right, I'm getting that. And you just get some cool stuff out of it. It's quite fun. So I'm going to play it. He's playing it. So I feel like automatically I basically bought him a game that I'm going to get a look in on every now and again. And I'm tempted to try the 3-year-old on it because it does say 3+, but I just feel like the controllers are a bit complicated. It wants you to zoom in on them a little bit with the left, you know, ZL button. You're meant to throw apples at the Pokemon to try and entice them out, although all my apples just smash them in the face and upset them. I saw someone on YouTube throwing something that didn't look like an apple, looked more like a stone. They threw something at a Magikarp and it just freaked out and started doing flips. So I'm guessing I'll unlock more things to throw at them as I go along. I think there's more filters you can do on it. And I know that, was it Pav mentioned last week? There's a printer you can buy that's compatible with it. And you know, you can share pictures online. So I've not had any that I particularly felt were worthy of sharing online, but I guess there will be some. You know, I imagine there's people out there who have done obscene things with it that will be absolutely fantastic and high end. And some of the pictures on Twitter look really higher quality than, I mean, there's not a newer 4K Switch yet, is there?
No.
See, and I don't think Pokemon Company, the sort of company you would make a 4K version of this, even though they should, you know, it'd be good. I'm playing it on a 4K TV, but, you know, max, there's no, like, settings on the Switch, is there? But I thought it looked great, but the pictures I'm seeing online, I'm like, bloody hell, have they touched these up in Photoshop or something? You know, people are putting, not just the Pokemon Company, obviously they're putting out ones that are probably hand-drawn by an artist that they're pretending it's from the game, but some of these ones I'm seeing people put out, I'm like, I can't get my head around how you took that, because all of mine just look a little bit like, okay, cool, yeah, it's the game, brilliant. But yeah, no, it is very good fun, and I can't imagine how, like, if they were to do a Pokemon Snap 3 in 15 years' time, it'd be absurdly different. Like, you know, this is already feeling pretty mad and cutting edge sort of thing for Pokemon, at least. It's not going to look like a Monster Hunter game or anything like that, but for Pokemon, it looks pretty good. But have you found it? Have you played much, Pab?
Just the 2 hours that I played on stream this afternoon.
Oh yeah, that's it. I saw you doing it.
Yeah, it's. I've many of the complaints that you do. I was like, I can't keep up with this. It's moving too fast.
It took me off guard. I can't understand why the professor put a brake on it.
Can I stop this? I want to stop. I want to get out. Yeah. Let me out. I was like, I want off. I don't. Just let me stop. And then kind of second, two or three runs in, I was like, okay, I get to grips with what it wants from me. And if you miss a shot, you just loop and do again. You go again, sort of thing. Yeah, it's been fun. I've enjoyed what I've played. It's not difficult in any way, shape, or form. Is it?
Yeah,
fun.
That's it.
It's nice fun. Exactly, it's very relaxing.
It mentioned there's routes, and I couldn't tell. Sometimes it did go a different way, but I felt like that was just the fourth or fifth time I went round a mission, like round a level. It just went a different way. I didn't know that if I was controlling that or what, because I'm too busy spinning around trying to do something or keep an eye out for something. But we randomly went through and found a Bidoof that had built its nest or something like that. And I guess just enough time had passed that maybe stuff they were doing in the first level had completed by the fourth level.
Maybe.
Or whatever.
Maybe, I don't know, but that's the thing, it does, things do change in it, like you say, and things that weren't there the first time can appear in the second time, and same vice versa for the night and day as well.
It's got some interesting side mission things, or I say side missions, that the professor said they heard that, I can't remember what it was, Torterra's yawn was particularly interesting, so can I get a picture of that next time I'm out and about? And I'm like, right, okay, how the hell do I make one of them just yawn as I happen to be going by? But yeah, they seem to have a few different things like that they're wondering about, which I think would be quite fun again, because it just gives you a chance to keep doing it until it happens. And I kind of hope that eventually, maybe, like, I can get why they don't let you use a break early in the game, because you'd just be slowing everything down and getting perfect pictures, but I'd kind of hope that late game you'd get the option to just go for a deeper dive. You know, you just want to get an actual special picture whilst not going through at 20 mile an hour mowing everything down. It can't be safe for the Pokemon, can it? I mean, come on. But yeah, I'd like the ability. I'm not going to look it up, but there's probably not an ability to slow down, but I just feel like it would be a nice sort of, I don't know, level 20 thing that you unlock, where you've pretty much done it all, now you can actually stop and have a look around for a bit. That'd be good. I'd like that.
Yeah, I think it would defeat the purpose of the game, though, if you did that, I think.
Yeah. But no, I think, you know, Kevin Anna, you know, I know you're not heavily... Well, you're all right with Pokemon, aren't you? So you'd probably enjoy it. You'd find it relaxing. You'd find it fun.
I can't stand using cameras.
Yeah, I mean, it was busman's holiday for you, but... it sounds, I mean, I wasn't sure, because I know Andy doesn't give a hoot about Pokemon, does he? But
no.
I feel like he likes filming stuff, and I don't know. Maybe
he doesn't
really touch
his Switch at the moment. He hasn't played for it for months.
Oh, right, okay. I was going to say, because like, if you were out and about and it was in the shop and he could try it, not that that's, you know, that can't happen at the moment, but in that sort of scenario, I would have said, give it a try. But if he's not on his Switch, then no.
Is there not a demo? There should be a demo of these things.
There may well be. I don't have a clue. But I mean, how would he fare with that? I don't want you getting him a demo and then he's like,
he doesn't mind demos.
Cool. Well, I'll have a quick look to see if such a thing exists.
I would have thought, as a representative of the Pokemon company, you'd know. This is pretty disappointing, Sheepdog. I'll feed this back to your employers.
Bloody employers. I'm sure I mentioned this at the time, but when Pokemon Shield was just coming out, they did a 24-hour live stream on Twitch, and it was just as they'd announced there was no national decks in the game, and I went on Twitch and was basically like, so what's happening with the national decks? Where's the national decks? Give us the national... I kept just asking every few minutes like questions about the national decks, and they banned me from their chat. And the other day I happened to click on their video and it came up, you are permanently banned from this chat. But it's like, you can appeal this. So I clicked appeal and it just showed me all the messages. It was like five messages where I'd just been like, where's the national decks, Pokemon? Where's the national decks? And then I was like, look, I'm really sorry. Can I be unbanned, please? And they've just not responded. It's been like a week and I'm very disappointed because, I've kind of got what was coming to me. They banned me from their chat. I can't converse with Pokemon anymore on Twitch.
You really are a trolly 9-year-old, aren't you?
I didn't even mean to be trolly. I just wanted to show I was a little bit bothered by it. And yeah, they weren't happy, obviously, because everyone was doing the same thing, I imagine, at the time. I mean, that 24-hour thing was a nightmare as well. They announced nothing in 24 hours, and I must have watched about 16 hours of it. I just burned. I don't do that with games anymore. But... I never did before that, to be fair, but that's just burned me for life. But yeah, I'm hoping that they're just so big they don't often check their ban appeal list, and maybe I'll just get the appeal lifted. But I doubt it's going to happen. Why would they? But
you have to just troll them on one of your secret second accounts that you use for trolling.
Well, this is it. If I ever wanted to actually get engaged with one of their events on Twitch and I needed to chat in it, I would just do that. But I just thought it's quite frustrating thinking if I... Because I'm basically going to be streaming all the different Pokemon games I own at some point or another. And I can't... it'd be like you getting banned by Sports Interactive and not being able to interact with them on one of the platforms. I mean,
they
I can still
wouldn't
interact
ban
with
me. I'm too adorable.
But you know what I mean? If you just couldn't
access
them.
I'm too nice to them.
Yeah, well...
They bought me off years ago.
I mean, I think it's probably a bit different. Pokemon are obviously the biggest one going, so I'm not exactly going to become... part of their inner circle.
No Harry Potter, though, Sheepdog.
It still amazes me that you thought that it would, that Harry Potter would even hold a candle to it.
It's a bigger franchise than Pokemon, and we all know it. Pab, before Sheepdog admits that he's wrong, stick an advert in, for goodness sake. You've left it very late in this podcast, but
really
we've got bills to pay. Thank you, Pab. During the ad break, Sheepdog did admit he was wrong and that Harry Potter is a bigger franchise than Pokemon. And I, for one, am impressed that he decided to be the bigger man.
Yeah, you know me, I'm always the bigger man in every room, every situation. I have also been playing XCOM 2 still. I know that doesn't really come as much as a surprise because I'm very limited on what I can stream at the moment. But I was complaining a bit more about that last week because I felt that it was too hard. But actually, I am getting the hang of it. I feel bad that I kind of vowed I wasn't going to save scum through this one because by the end of XCOM 1, oh, bloody hell, I was just reloading. I was like, oh, you know, Lee McElwain's broken now. I'm just going to turn it off and on again. Whereas this time I've started saying, right, I'm only going to do it once a stream if I have to. Because what I'm finding is that when I fire it all up, my first mission is just really ropey. It's like I just need to get a feel for it. I'll just go, oh, this mission will be fine. I send everyone in and they just die immediately. And I'm like, look, I'm not having that. I'm not, after all the good work we've done so far, I'm not letting present Sheepdog ruin the efforts of past Sheepdog. I was doing one the other day and it was like, disarm, I can't remember what it was like, get this file before they upload it. And I just lost track of how many goes I had. And so it had two goes left and they're telling me the file was about to upload unless I got in there. And I was just like, well, it's more than two moves away. Or I restarted it, tried blowing a hole in the door and accidentally blew up the computer and the game just bugged out. So I must have restarted that one about three times, but finally got it sorted. But other than those little hiccups, which are more me being just a massive idiot than being bad or good at anything, it's just me being a plonker. But I feel like it's much more enjoyable in terms of it is a harder story, it is a harder mission. I've got the hang of what it all means and how to knock the avatar thing down. And it did spring up randomly. It's gone up like four in the last sort of week of streaming. There was a point where I had it down to like two. I always assumed, I understood it, that if you got it down to naught, it went away. But apparently not. Apparently it's that high. It goes up and down the whole game. So you're just trying to complete the story before it fills, basically. If it doesn't fill, you could have it at 8 out of 9 or 9 out of 10, whatever. I'm guessing it's out of 10. Why would it be out of 9? If you had it at 9 out of 10 but you completed the final mission, it doesn't matter. Whereas, you know, if it's at 1 out of 10 and you do the final mission, it's the same. That's my understanding, at least. If I'm wrong, someone correct me over the internet over the weekend. But I'd always been told to try and get rid of the avatar stuff as quickly as you could. So I'd been kind of worrying about that and thinking that was something I needed to prioritize. But actually, it seems that I've learned since then that I should have been trying to prioritize building some of the rooms that I hadn't been building and getting the story going, because eventually I guess it'll just cascade and wreck me if I'm not quick enough to do the story. But yeah, it is a fantastic game. I'm really enjoying it. And it's kind of messed with my head and my plans a little bit, being told by Pabby that they released Chimera Squad last year. I'd completely missed that. I thought it was DLC, but it's actually like a bridge towards XCOM 3. Yeah, standalone mm-hmm. game. I'm just a little bit like, well, I mean, I could check the specs, see if it works on my laptop. I don't know whether it's the same quality as XCOM 2, which would mean it maybe would work. But I spoke to PC Specialist over the week, and they told me that they are up to the orders they got at the end of January. I ordered February 25th, so I'm a little bit frustrated to hear that. But she sort of said to me, or he, I can't tell if it was a man or a woman, they had a name that was gender ambiguous, but not like Alex or Sam, where I'd just assume one way or the other. I can't remember what their name was now. But anyway, they said to me, what am I making this difficult for? They said to me, it shouldn't be more than 2-3 weeks if everything goes to plan. Which is a little bit frustrating because I'm going away in 4 weeks, so I'm going to get it and not be able to really get stuck into it. But, you know, what am I going to do? So, yeah, I need something. When I complete XCOM 2, I will need something to play instead. So I'm hoping Chimera Squad will work and could just round off my XCOM time, you know, on Twitch. And then I can pivot straight into Pokemon and go mad on that, which is what I really want to do.
You don't even really like Pokemon.
Do you know what? I keep finding Pokemon games that I own and thinking, yeah, I could add that to the pile, actually. I realised I own Mystery Dungeon DX, or whatever it's called, and I thought, well, I only got a few hours into that the other week when I reviewed it, and then I didn't really play much more of it because I've been busy. That could be another good one to play on stream. And they keep releasing them, Kev. They're just more and more games. They seem to love releasing games.
Weird, isn't it?
Mm. But that is my lot. Them two have been dominating my week. They've been great fun. I'm kind of getting a bit fed up with Pokemon Go at the moment. Just a mild rant on that. They've announced a pretty rubbish community day that I'm like, meh, whatever about. I can't do any of the battling at the moment because it's the Ultra League, and the Ultra League sucks. I haven't got any good Pokemon for it. It seems to require too much investment to do anything good with it. And I don't know. I'm just going through a bit of a weird one. I'm hoping that passes because I really enjoy playing it when I enjoy it, but I don't want to start getting bored of it. It's not often that I get bored of games I like, if that makes sense. It probably doesn't make much sense, but I'm either into it or not. That's how I tend to be. But at the moment, I don't like the company, and it's the Niantic, and it's bothering me a little bit. But I'm sure I'll get over it. I'm sure I'll be back on the bandwagon. I was already looking at getting my GoFest ticket when they announced them. They've announced they're doing another GoFest in June, I think it was. July, it's coming back. 17th and 18th of July. And I was kind of like, well, that'd be fun, playing in my car on my own, because my kids don't like it anymore. But, yeah. The company's so awful. They don't listen to customer feedback. They don't apologise when they cock up. It's weird. I don't understand. Like,
even EA, like me, they're doing this on the Kevin Chapman model.
But even EA apologise, don't they? You know, I mean, I play Tapped Out, for God's sakes, and I go on there and they're like, look, we're really sorry, the game was down for half an hour. Here's like 30 donuts, and I'm like, I didn't even know it was down. Like, what? You know, this is the first time I've logged in 24 hours. When was it down? And whereas Pokemon Go will just have massive flaws and bugs and problems, and they'll be like, yeah, suck it. And I just don't get it. I just think they're really arrogant. And yeah, it annoys me when I then go and stick a fiver in, and I'm like, why am I giving a fiver to these people when I could be giving a fiver to anyone? Kev.
They'll never be as big as Harry Potter with that kind of attitude.
Well, they are Harry Potter, aren't they?
You're Harry Potter.
Yeah, I wish they'd sort their act out. I feel like they will. There's a lot of, I'm not the only one who's got a lot of animosity against them at the moment. There is a lot of the big Pokemon Go players seem to be really against them at the moment. So, fingers crossed. We'll see what happens.
Habby, what else have you been up to this week?
I've started and, this week, I have been kind of digging into a little game called Loop Hero.
Never heard of it. It sounds made up.
It's not made up. It's an actual game. It's on, I think it's early access, I think. And it's a game where you are you start on a, like, 2D, like, little circular, oh, not always circular, but sort of like a loop that your little character kind of automatically patrols around. It's a bizarre game. A Sheepdog, I think you would really like it. I genuinely do. I genuinely think you would like this. And there's like there's a whole demo for it. So it would run on your Mac, Sheepdog. This is how basic it is. It's such a cool game where you have to. You have your little character, and he kind of auto runs around this loop, and you have to get resources from this loop that you're doing, and you get resources by putting items onto this loop, and those items come from such as forests, meadows, and mountains, and all that sort of thing. You put those things down onto your little map thing, but they are, all those things come from cards. So stay with me. It's not a collectible card game, not a CCG. So you're not collecting cards, but you kind of are collecting cards.
I can't confuse it.
It's not a CCG. So it's not like you are building a deck. you just get given cards every time you defeat enemies, they give you a card, and then you
I have to put a picture up of it, and I can see what you mean. They come up along the bottom.
Yeah.
You can select what you're going to use.
So along the bottom, you have your cards. You have the main loop and rest and map that you are working with in the middle sort of thing. On the far right, you have your inventory and kind of like loot that drops from enemies. And yeah, so every time you it's so hard to explain this game, but it's so addictive. So addictive and so very clever. So you go around this loop, you are putting things down on the map that affects like what resources you get back and what enemies spawn, and how fast you can move around the loop, and certain things that go on in the actual world. And every time you kill an enemy, say, for example, you might get a card, you might get an item. You can then put that item, you can equip that item, and it's a constant thing of, like, getting loot, and you, I think it's, like, right-click to, you can pause play, so you can just stop the play and just go, okay, have a look at what I've got, what we need to do, what is happening, what's on the actual playing field sort of thing, and you can just let it, you can play it, you can let it run itself, but you let it play itself, you're probably in danger of not. It's not an auto clicker, but it kind of is as well. it's weird. It's so cool, and so you're building your stats up, building your what items you get. Every time you replace your items, you basically destroy what you've just previously had. So you can't just go, okay, swap this for that, and swap back and forth between items. Items have stats and buffs on them, so a lot of items that I like are like vampirism, one of those where you kill an enemy, it turns a certain percentage of what damage you've done you take back from you to heal yourself with. Or I have regen, is what is another one that I like. Regen's life every certain amount of seconds, and every time you do this for so long until you put so many things down on the map that it will spawn the boss. Now, I've not beat the boss. The boss pretty much just give me a good hiding. But so you can do all that stuff, and every time you loop, you get back to your camp. The boss spawns at your camp when the boss actually gets to you, and once it does, you got an option at any point to get out. Any point you can just pause play and go, I want out. Now, if you jump out, in the middle of the run, you realise, I'm not going to make this back to camp. So you get back to camp and you say, I want it out. You take all your resources with you from that run and you go back to camp. Now, I'll tell you about the camp in a second. If you just decide, I'm not going to make it to camp, you can just literally just pause play and go, I'm getting out now. You take 30% of the 60% of your resources that you've taken, you've collected in this loop, so to speak. If you die on that run, you only take 30% of it back. So you still get stuff, but nowhere near as much as stuff that you would normally get back. Now, your campsite is what you are building. You're getting these resources in at first to build up your camp. So you get like a med bay kind of thing, or a cooking station so you can build, you can make potions, or a gym so you can then, you're much more athletic, so you can run, you can move quicker. You're doing these things, that's what your resources are for. And it's, like I say, it's strangely addicting. I played it on stream last weekend for like solid 2 hours just doing it. And I didn't even get to the boss. I just kept bailing. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm out. I don't think I can survive it any longer. I'm just out. But I built, like I say, like a med camp and a kitchen. And yeah, I've been doing that. And like, you can just play for ages. You can just play and play and play, and this is an absolute time sink of a game. And it's like a couple of hundred meg download. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It looks very simple. It looks very simplistic. And also, there's a whole story kind of going on with this as well, about the Earth being devoured by this big skeleton fella, and everyone on it is just kind of like gone. And like, there's a few people that exist that remember, and that's it. And you're trying to kind of like bring people back by remembering certain things and certain aspects of the world. And I don't know the ins and outs of it, because I was just kind of skipping bits of it because I just wanted to get on with it. But it's a very, very good game, and is well worth like £8. No, I paid £8 for it. I think it was £8 on CD keys. I think it's like 12.
Remind
quid
everybody
on...
what it's called again, Pab.
Loop Hero. Loop Hero. A very, excellent very good stuff. Game. And it should be, I mean, it's on early access right now, but it's a perfect game. It's a prime game for something on Switch or iPad or something like that. It's so good for that sort of thing.
That's we should be ratings. Doing the catalogue for Switch games. We're getting them ready for them. They need to be talking to us. We're recruiting their new indie games.
I mean, I imagine they probably are talking to people, especially, I mean, iPad is spot on for iPad. But Switch as well.
Should we just start ringing devs and going, have you heard of iPad? Have you heard of the Switch?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you go wrong, we can be video game agents. This is our future. Let's knock this podcasting lark on the head. We're game agents now. Have you got any more for us, Pab, or is that
The only other thing I've been playing is I've been kind of addictively playing Monster Hunter Rise all week up until today. I've been hammering it big time. I've now been high rank Monster Hunter levels. I've got high rank armor. I've got high rank weapons. Up until then, I've been playing low rank. But I've been playing like multiple streams this week with people. I've been playing all the hub quests, doing all the higher rank stuff. Still kind of hanging back because I don't do as much damage to everyone else. Because I was like level rank, Hunter rank 5. And the people I was playing with were like Hunter rank 25. So we shall see. We shall see where we go with that. We'll continue to play it because it's a very good game. It's very addicting. Want to go and hunt all the monsters and bought some new armor and some new weapons. That's the loop. Once again, bringing it back to the loop. Yeah.
You love a loop.
I do.
Excellent. Well, we'll wrap things up there then, boys and girls. As ever, if you want to get caught up with everything all over the social media, you can follow us on Twitter, where Sheepdog tweets as us 3 or 4 times every day. It's top-tier content at MGUK Podcast, or you can follow me everywhere apart from TikTok at Lelujo. At TikTok, I'm at Mr. Kevin Chapman.
And I'm at Sheepdog6K everywhere.
Anna, where can people find you?
Nowhere at the moment. I've got to set everything back up.
Okay.
Yeah. I've not done all that yet.
And Pab?
I'm at Pab1986 on Twitter and Twitch.
Excellent. See you next week, boys and girls.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, folks.